Good morning. It's good to see everyone here this morning. I'm not the regular evangelist. Brother Albert, our normal evangelist, is away holding a gospel meeting up north of Columbus. So I am filling in for him today. So I'd ask you to bear with me. Our theme for this year is walking in the counsel of God. And in preparation for this lesson, I looked at some passages that I thought that we could use. In particular, what I've looked at are some scriptures from the Old Testament, from the what we might call the wisdom literature, which would include Psalms and Proverbs, as well as a few other passages. And I think that that this can be very helpful for us, because there is a tremendous amount of God's counsel that we see within these books. I'd like to start with, and if you would, please take your Bibles and open them up with me. I'll have many of the passages up on the screen, but this first one I will not, because it's a very lengthy passage. And I want to go through this. The last couple of days, Brother Larry mentioned in his prayer, have been quite concerning. Yesterday in El Paso, Texas, a gunman shot up a bunch of people at a Walmart. And I have family in El Paso, so I was kind of concerned about that. I contacted them, and thankfully they're okay, but they're also shaken by this event. And then early this morning, I understand a gunman shot up a place up in Dayton. There were quite a few people shot and several killed. And tragically, this is becoming almost common within our country. And I believe that the scriptures do give us an insight as to how these kinds of events become common. And that's what I want us to look at in this first passage, Deuteronomy chapter 32. And the setting for this is the children of Israel have been freed from bondage in Egypt. Moses, through God's direction and God's help, led the children of Israel out of Egypt and through the wilderness to the promised land. And we know that the people, that particular generation of people that left Egypt, were not very faithful at all. And they constantly were testing God. And finally, God said that was enough. And he told them that they would all die, every one of them, in the wilderness. All the adults would die in the wilderness. And that their children, the next generation, would be the ones who would have freedom to go into the promised land. And we know that Moses also fell, and that he fell in sin, and God rejected his ability to go into the promised land. Now God forgave Moses, and God still considered Moses as faithful, but Moses suffered a punishment of not being able to go into the promised land. So after the conquest of the eastern land of east of the Jordan River, it was time for Moses to die. And Moses wrote this song, and that's what we're going to read to begin with here. And once again, this is a lengthy passage, but I think this passage helps us to see the warnings that God gives to nations who refuse to submit to him and to his leadership. So if you would, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 32. And I'm going to read beginning in verse 1, and I'm reading from the American Standard Version here. Deuteronomy 32, beginning in verse 1. And this is the song that Moses sings or speaks to them, and it's in the form of a song so that they can sing it and they can pass this message on to their children and to their children's children through the generations. And in fact, we have it today. So beginning in verse 1 of Deuteronomy chapter 32. Give ear, ye heavens, and I will speak, and let the earth hear the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender grass, and as the showers upon the herb. For I will proclaim the name of Jehovah. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God, the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are justice, a God of faithfulness and without iniquity. Just and right is he. They have dealt corruptly with him. They are not his children. It is their blemish. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Do ye thus requite Jehovah, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath bought thee? He hath made thee and established thee. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask the Father, and he will show thee. Thine elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High gave to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the children of men, he set the bounds of the peoples according to the number of the children of Israel. For Jehovah's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in a waste, howling wilderness. He compassed him about. He cared for him. He kept him as the apple of his eye, as an eagle that stirreth up her nest, that fluttereth over her young. He spread abroad his wings, he took them, he bare them on his pinions. Jehovah alone did lead him, and there was no foreign god with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, and he did eat the increase of the field. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock, butter of the herd and milk of the flock, with fat of lambs, and rams of the bread of Bashan, and goats, with the finest of the wheat, and with the blood of the grape thou drankest wine. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxed fat, thou art grown thick, thou art become sleek. Then he forsook God who made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They moved him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto demons, which were no god, to gods that they knew not, to new gods that came up late, which your fathers dreaded not. Of the rock that begat thee thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that gave thee birth. And Jehovah saw it and abhorred them, because of the provocation of his sons and his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very perverse generation, children in whom is no faithfulness. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities. And I will move them to jealousy with those that are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. For a fire is kindled in mine anger, and burneth unto the lowest Sheol, and devoureth the earth with its increase, and setteth on fire the foundations of the mountains. I will heap evils upon them. I will spend mine arrows upon them. They shall be wasted with hunger and devoured with burning heat and bitter destruction. And the teeth of beasts will I send upon them, with the poison of crawling things of the dust. Without shall the sword be reeve, and in the chambers terror. It shall destroy both young man and virgin, the suckling with the man of gray hairs. I said, I would scatter them afar. I would make the remembrance of them to cease from among men. Were it not that I feared the provocation of the enemy, lest their adversaries should judge amiss, lest they should say, our hand is exalted, and Jehovah hath not done all this. For they are a nation void of counsel, and there is no understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. How shall one chase 1,000, and 2 put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them, and Jehovah had delivered them up? For their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. For their vine is of the vine of Sodom, and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall, their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of serpents and the cruel venom of asps. Is not this laid up in store with me, sealed up among my treasures? Vengeance is mine and recompense at the time when their foot shall slide, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that are to come upon them shall make haste. For Jehovah will judge his people and repent himself for his servants when he seeth that their power is gone, and there is none remaining, shut up or left at large. And he will say, where are their gods, the rock in which they took refuge, which did eat the fat of their sacrifices and drink the wine of their drink offering? Let them rise up and help you. Let them be your protection. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. For I lift up my hand to heaven and say, as I live forever, if I wet my glittering sword and my hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to mine adversaries and will recompense them that hate me. I will make mine arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh with the blood of the slain and the captives. From the head of the leaders of the enemy, rejoice, O ye nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants and will render vengeance to his adversaries and will make expiation for his land, for his people. And Moses came and spake all the words of this song in the ears of the people, he and Joshua the son of Nun. And Moses made an end of speaking all these words to all Israel. And he said unto them, set your heart unto all the words which I testify unto you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do, even all the words of this law. For it is no vain thing for you, because it is your life. And through this thing ye shall prolong your days in the land, whither ye go over the Jordan to possess it. And Jehovah spake unto Moses that selfsame day, saying, get thee up into this mountain of Abiram, and unto Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, that is over against Jericho. And behold, the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel for a possession, and die in the mount whither thou goest up, and be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother died in Mount Hor, and was gathered unto his people. Because ye trespassed against me in the midst of the children of Israel at the waters of Meribah of Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin, because ye sanctified me not in the midst of the children of Israel. For thou shalt see the land before thee, but thou shalt not go thither into the land which I give the children of Israel. I know this is a lengthy reading, but I believe in this passage what we see is Moses giving a warning to the children of Israel. These are very much like the final words of Moses to the people. And Moses had led these people for 40 years through the wilderness. He had led them through many trials and difficulties. And he had led them to the point that that entire generation died in the wilderness. And now their children, a new generation of people who were stronger in faith and who were willing to submit themselves to the will of God and were willing to seek after the counsel of God, that generation was going to go in and receive the inheritance, the promised land of Canaan. And they would fulfill the promises that God made to Abraham to be this nation that God had promised to Abraham and to take this land that God had promised to Abraham and to possess it. But Moses, in this song that he sang to them, he gives them a very stern warning as to what would happen if they turn away from the counsel of God, if they do not heed the counsel. And he describes what would happen to a nation void of counsel. And I believe that that helps to describe what's going on in our land. Tragically, many within our land are becoming void of God's counsel, and they're refusing to listen to the counsel of God. There are additional passages that I'd like for us to look at, and I'll have these up on the screen, most of these, so we can look at them together. Hopefully it's showing okay. Psalms chapter 1. Whose counsel are we following? How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Psalms 1, he talks about here about how blessed a man is who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. See, that's important for us to recognize. Our theme this year has been walking in the counsel of God. And what we may not realize, but I think it's important that we realize, is we are walking in someone's counsel each and every day. We are following someone's advice. Either we are following God's counsel and God's advice, or we are following Satan's counsel and Satan's advice. There is no middle ground. So either we are following God or we are following Satan. And here he talks about how blessed a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked and does not stand in the path of sinners and does not sit in the seat of scoffers. In contrast, what we see in verse 2 is his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in the law of the Lord, in God's law, he meditates day and night. That, brethren, should be us. We should be among those who meditate in God's law day and night. Those who are wicked, they will not have the security. And in fact, they will not be able to stand in the judgment day. And the sinners will not be able to be in the assembly of the righteous. God knows the way of the righteous. And the way of the wicked, he says, will perish. Psalms chapter 2. This is another psalm that talks about counsel. Here he's talking about counsel to the rulers of nations. And you know, one of the things that's interesting as we go through some of these psalms, you may remember as we go through these that some of these psalms are quoted by Jesus and by his apostles in the New Testament. Some of them are even quoted by Jesus when he was upon the cross. And what we see when we read through these psalms is we see a deeper meaning. If Jesus referred to one verse of this psalm, he very often was referring to the entire psalm and to the message of that entire psalm, even though he may quote only one verse. So Psalms chapter 2, why are the nations in an uproar? And the peoples devising a vain thing. The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs, the Lord scoffs at them. Then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury, saying, but as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. Here in this part of the psalm, we see the picture or the image that is painted of the rulers or the kings of the earth. And they are taking their counsel together. They are counseling among each other. And one of their points is, let's tear apart the fetters of the Lord. What are fetters? The fetters are like things that bind us. And tragically, then in this psalm, and I believe even to this day, we see that there are leaders and rulers of this land that view God's word as if it is a rope that is unfairly binding us and keeping us from the freedom and the liberty that we all should have, that they believe we should have by their code of standards, code of right and wrong. And they would cast off God. I know I'm getting older, and there are many of the next generation here younger than me. And I can remember when my grandfather used to tell me things about when he was young. And then my dad used to tell me about things when he was young. And now I find myself in a position of trying to tell my children, my grandchildren, about things when I was young. And one of the things that I want you to understand, those of you that are younger, it hasn't always been this way in this land that people are shooting people up. It has not always been that way. And I firmly believe that part of the reason it has not is because when I was a young kid, we used to read the Bible in school. We used to have the Bible in school. We used to pray. And we used to be able to use Scripture and to talk with other people from the Scriptures. And what has happened in this land, in my generation, is that people have effectively driven God out of the schools and driven God out of society and driven the discussion of the Scriptures out of civil discussion. I remember it's been 15 years ago, maybe, when our kids were younger, we took them on a trip to Washington, D.C. And we went to the Lincoln Memorial, and many of you have maybe been there. But one of the things that impressed me so much when walking through the Lincoln Memorial was that there were scriptures carved into the walls all the way around that building. And there were scriptures that were quoted by Abraham Lincoln. And he was quoting directly from God's Word. And you have to understand that a man who could quote that much is a man of the Word, a man who understands the Word of God, who spent time in the Word of God and used it in his attempt to lead the nation. That's the kind of leadership that we need. We need people who are still not ashamed of the Word of God and the counsel of God. And we need to support these people who are willing to stand up for God and for His Word. Because as this passage says, God sits in the heaven and He laughs. God looks down upon those who are in positions of authority and who are rulers of nations, whether it be here in the United States or other countries around the world. God sees them. And when they try to drive God out of the discourse, and drive God out of the laws of the land, He does sit and scoff at them. But He also, it says in verse 5, He will speak to them in His anger and terrify them in His fury. And He will remind them that He has installed His king upon Zion, the holy mountain. And we know who that king is. That king is His son Jesus. Continuing in Psalms chapter 2, verse 7, I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Talking about this king. And we know from the New Testament this passage is quoted. And it refers to the fact that God appointed Jesus, His only begotten son, who came to the earth to be that king. In verse 8 it says, ask of me and I will surely give the nations as your inheritance and the very ends of the earth as your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall shatter them like earthenware. Now therefore, O kings, show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth. Worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. Do homage to the Son, that He not become angry and you perish in the way. For His wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are all who take refuge in Him. Then moving on to Psalm chapter 5. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. Heed the sound of my cry for help, my King and my God. For to you I pray. In the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning I will order my prayer to you and eagerly watch. For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness. No evil dwells with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all those who do iniquity. You hate all who do iniquity. You destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the man of bloodshed and deceit. But as for me, by your abundant loving kindness, I will enter your house. At your holy temple, I will bow in reverence for you. This is the attitude that we should have. that we should be desiring to come into the presence of God and to worship Him. And that's what we're here to do today. That's what we'll be here to do at 5 o'clock this afternoon. And that's what we'll be here to do Wednesday evening at 7:30. We will come together to be in the presence of God, to study from His Word, and to worship Him. In verse 8 it continues, O Lord, lead me in Your righteousness because of my foes. Make Your way straight before me. There is nothing reliable in what they say. Their inward part is destruction itself. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. Hold them guilty, O God. By their own devices let them fall. In the multitude of their transgressions, thrust them out, for they are rebellious against You. Notice there in verse 9, he says, this is speaking of the foes of God and our foes. Those who are opposed to God are also opposed to us as His children. In verse 9 he says, there's nothing reliable in what they say. You know, those who oppose God oftentimes have very many things to say. But yet, if they're opposed to God, we cannot depend upon what they're saying as being a reliable source. Verse 11 of Psalms 5, But let all who take refuge in You be glad. Let them ever sing for joy, and may You shelter them, that those who love Your name may exult in You. For it is You who blesses the righteous man, O Lord. You surround him with favor as with a shield. Moving on to Psalms chapter 25. To You, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in You I trust. Do not let me be ashamed. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none of those who wait for You will be ashamed. Those who deal treacherously without cause will be ashamed. Make me know Your ways, O Lord. Teach me Your paths. This is talking about seeking the counsel of God. Lead me in Your truth and teach me. For You are the God of my salvation. For You I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, Your compassion and Your loving kindnesses, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to Your loving kindness, remember me for Your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore He instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in justice, and He teaches the humble His way. All the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth to those who keep His covenant and His testimonies. For Your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Who is the man who fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way he should choose. His soul will abide in prosperity, and his descendants will inherit the land. The secret of the Lord is for those who fear Him, and He will make them know His covenant. My eyes are continually toward the Lord, for He will pluck my feet out of the net. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Look upon my affliction and my trouble, and forgive all my sins. Look upon my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with violent hatred. Guard my soul and deliver me. Do not let me be ashamed, for I take refuge in You. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for You. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. Psalm 73. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet came close to stumbling. My steps had almost slipped. For I was envious of the arrogant, and I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pains in their death, and their body is fat. In this psalm, which we'll go on here in just a second, in this psalm, we see a contrast between the fate of those who are wicked and the fate of those who serve God. And on the earthly basis, it oftentimes seems that the fate of the wicked is better than the fate of those who serve God. But in the end, and on a spiritual basis, we understand that that is not true. So he starts the psalm out by making the statement, surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. In verse 5, still talking about those who die outside of God. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like mankind. Therefore, pride is their necklace. The garment of violence covers them. Their eye bulges from fatness. The imaginations of their heart run riot. They mock and wickedly speak of oppression. They speak from on high. They have set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue parades through the earth. This is those who would reject God and who not follow Him. Therefore, His people return to this place, and waters of abundance are drunk by them. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge with the Most High? Behold, these are the wicked and always at ease. They have increased in wealth. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and washed my hands in innocence. For I have been stricken all day long and chastened every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have betrayed the generation of your children. When I pondered to understand this, it was troublesome in my sight, until I came into the sanctuary of God. Then I perceived their end. So in the sanctuary of God, when we come to God's presence, that's when we have a better understanding of what the true end is of life here on this earth. In verse 18, he says, surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. How they are destroyed in a moment. They are utterly swept away by sudden terrors, like a dream when one awakes. O Lord, when aroused, you will despise their form. When my heart was embittered and I was pierced within, then I was senseless and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you, and you have taken hold of my right hand. With your counsel, you will guide me, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from you will perish. You have destroyed all those who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. In this Psalm 73, we see the contrast between the fate of those who reject God and who seem to prosper and to do well here on the earth. They seem to be the ones who are the most wealthy, who have the most possessions, who seem to have the most carefree life. Because the life of a Christian is not always going to be easy. There's going to be times where, as Christians, we have to stand firm in the face of opposition and in the face of persecution. But yet, in the end, we understand that it will be worth it all. This is God's counsel for us. Proverbs chapter 1, the scripture reading was taken from Proverbs 1 this morning. And Proverbs is also a book with a great deal of wisdom for us. Beginning in verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. One more time, let me repeat that. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Then he talks about the enticement of sinners, beginning in verse 8. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, even whole as those who go down to the pit. We will find all kinds of precious wealth. We will fill our houses with spoil. Throw in your lot with us. We shall all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed blood. Indeed, it is useless to spread the baited net in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who gains by violence. It takes away the life of its possessors. And then wisdom gives warnings. Wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her sayings. How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand, and no one paid attention. And you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. So they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be satisfied with their own devices. For the waywardness of the naive will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But he who listens to me shall live securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil. And then Proverbs chapter 16. The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives. Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. The Lord has made everything for its own purpose, even the wicked for the day of evil. Everyone who is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Assuredly, he will not be unpunished. By loving kindness and truth, iniquity is atoned for, and by the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is little with righteousness than great income with injustice. The mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. A divine decision is in the lips of the king. His mouth should not err in judgment. A just balance and scales belong to the Lord. All the weights of the bag are his concern. It is an abomination for kings to commit wicked acts. For a throne is established on righteousness. Righteous lips are the delight of kings. And he who speaks right is loved. The fury of a king is like messengers of death, but a wise man will appease it. In the light of a king's face is life, and his favor is like a cloud with the spring rain. How much better it is to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen above silver. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He who watches his way preserves his life. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. It is better to be humble in spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. He who gives attention to the word will find good, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. The wise in heart will be called understanding, and sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness. Understanding is a fountain of life to one who has it, but the discipline of fools is folly. The heart of the wise instructs his mouth and adds persuasiveness to his lips. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. But there is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. A worker's appetite works for him, for his hunger urges him on. A worthless man digs up evil, while his words are like scorching fire. A perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends. A man of violence entices his neighbor and leads him in a way that is not good. He who winks his eye does so to devise perverse things. He who compresses his lips brings evil to pass. A gray head is a crown of glory. It is found in the way of righteousness. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who captures a city. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. These are some words of wisdom, some counsel from God. And there were many, many more that I could have chosen, but I didn't want to go over. So, at this time, we're going to sing the invitation song. And as we sing this song, we're offering an opportunity for anyone who is here this morning. If you have not obeyed the gospel of Christ, if you have not put on Christ in baptism, which is what God requires of us, and you would desire to do so, let us be known, and we can arrange to have that happen. If you are a child of God, and you have fallen, and you need to make things right, and you need the prayers of the congregation, we'll be happy to pray with you. If there's any way that we can help you out, we encourage you to come forward as we stand and sing.